The message, the title is, oh yeah, youth. They never get to hear my message, but God Rescues Me. It's part one. As I was preparing this message, it was, it didn't have different parts because it was just one message, but each point got longer and longer and longer. I had like 4 points to this message, and if I gave you all that point, that would be 2 hours long, and so it's going to be part one, part two, part three, maybe part four, to God Rescues Me. The passage is from Romans chapter 7, verse 21 to 25. Romans chapter 7, verse 21 to 25. I'm controlling. This never works. Right? Can you, Angie, can you do it? Okay. Romans chapter 7, verse 21 to 25. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but there's something else that goes on inside us, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. This is Apostle Paul talking. Who will rescue me? Okay? This is a theme. God rescues me. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? And Paul gives us the answer. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what he's saying is God delivers you and me. Okay? Amen. We at Catalyst, we teach about spiritual warfare. Right? And we teach that our battle is not against flesh and blood. And when we say that, it's saying our battle as a Christian is not with one another, it's not with people, it's not human beings. Okay? With spiritual beings, this is spiritual warfare. But this passage points out another battle. There's the spirit, another battle, and it says it's happening inside of us. Spiritual battle happens inside of us, and spiritual battle, we're fighting against spiritual beings, against demonic. But there's another spiritual battle that happens. It's not a battle with demons, but a battle with our flesh. Okay? A battle with our flesh. Another description for flesh, okay? Is old nature, is a sinful nature. And this battle with our flesh is a battle with ourself. Okay? Paul describes this battle as, although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. I want to do good, but there's this battle going on inside my heart, and I also do evil. It's a battle in my mind, okay? It makes me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. A battle with myself. Okay? And this battle with self, we all have this tendency. Okay? It's the flesh. We all have this tendency. This battle with self don't want the things of God. Okay? If you're really honest, at church, we all say, I want the things of God, 100%. Then you go home, okay? And you kind of struggle, This self, this flesh, don't want the things of God. This old nature says, I can do it myself, okay? I don't need God, okay? This old nature, this flesh, doesn't worship the Creator. Okay? It worships the creation. It worships idol, the flesh in us. Worships idol. It worships material things. It worships the physical body. It worships different charismatic personalities, And this old nature, okay, this flesh, what it does is it makes you stuck. Okay? And that's why we need to battle this flesh. We can't just leave it alone. It makes you stuck. The flesh makes you stuck in bitterness. It makes you stuck in destructive anger. Okay? It's not the new nature. Okay, the new nature is filled with the Holy Spirit. The new nature is filled with God's love, peace, joy. It doesn't say anger. Okay, you know, it's gentleness, kindness, goodness, right? That's what God is doing in us. But there's this sinful nature. It makes us stuck in destructive anger. It makes us stuck in wounding, meaning we get stuck in past rejection. Abandonment that we experience, neglect, abuse. We get stuck there in brokenness and in bondage. We get stuck in this bondage. And so Apostle Paul says, who will rescue me? Who will rescue us? And this is the good news. Thanks be to God. Say that to your neighbor. Thanks be to God. Okay. Who delivers me? Through Jesus, okay, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Say to your neighbor, Jesus rescues me. Okay? Jesus, God rescues me from myself. Okay? From myself. We need deliverance from ourselves. You know, that's what the Bible says. Yes, we need deliverance from demonic. You know, stronghold, foothold, demonic bondages, you know, demonic lies, yes. But we also need deliverance from ourselves. That's what the Bible's talking about. So God rescues me. This is part one. I'm going to talk about one area we need to be rescued by God, okay? One area that we need to be rescued by God, and we need to be, God rescues me from, the theme of today, God rescues me from selfishness. Okay? God rescues me from selfishness. Because of our flesh, we have this great tendency to go towards selfishness rather than selflessness. How many of you know it is so much easier to be selfish than selfless? Huh? It's so much easier to be selfish. It is very easy to be self-righteous. Okay, if you want to be self-righteous, you don't have to go to a school. You don't have to read a book. You know, there's no book out there how to be more self-righteous. Okay? There's no training to be self-righteous, because it is easy to be self-righteous. Why? Because of our flesh. Okay? Our old nature. It's easy to, you know, it's much more easier to go toward self-preservation, self-protection, self-grandeur. Okay? It's so much more easier. And you know, the Bible teaches us this, that to die to self, right? The Bible tells us to die to self, to deny yourself, to be crucified with Christ. Right? And I used to think, you know, what it means is beat myself up. You know, that's not what the Bible's talking about. Okay? It doesn't mean treat yourself badly. It doesn't mean that, okay, to deny myself means, you know, I just got to think bad of myself. I'm no good. I'm a mistake. I'm worthless. That's not what it's talking about. It's not a call to beat yourself up, to shame self, to condemn self, but it is a call to battle the flesh. Okay? That part. That we all have to battle the flesh, to deny the old nature, to crucify the sinful nature. Okay? It doesn't just, this is something that we gotta fight. Okay? Or it will take over. The flesh will take over. This is some. So there's the battle in the spiritual with the demonic, but inside of you there's a battle with yourself. Okay? And this is the sinful nature that wants to be the reason we gotta battle it, because the sinful nature wants to be self-centered, not God-centered. Okay? You and I need to get that selfishness under submission. You know why? If I don't, it will ruin your life. Oh, selfishness will ruin my life? It will ruin your life. I want to ask you this. How many selfish people do you know, really selfish people, do you know that are happy? I don't know any. Someone that's really selfish. All about me, 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 me. Huh? Only think about me, what I want. How many of you know really selfish people that's really happy? I don't. Let me ask you another question. How many selfish people do you know that have deep relationships? Come on. Really deep, intimate relationship, connected, a strong community. How many selfish people do you know that are living a life of purpose? We can't find really selfish people living a life of purpose. Okay? It's easy to be selfish. That's the problem. It's very easy to be selfish. For example, this church, it's so hard, right? That's why we gotta have small group, we have prayer meetings, we worship, we have teaching, you know. But say a church, Catalyst, we don't do anything. We don't do anything. You know what's gonna happen? The church will naturally go towards selfishness. Will naturally go towards self-righteousness. Right? If you go to a church, they don't confront any sin, they don't, live a holy life, they don't live in love, right? You'll find a very self-righteous church, a legalistic church. There'll be pride in the church. There'll be a lot of fear in the church. There'll be a lot of judgment in the church. Very critical, a lot of conflict, a lot of division in the church. Why? Because, if you don't do anything, it's easy to be selfish. A loving community. We want to be say to your neighbor, we want to be a loving community. You know what? I found out it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work to be a loving community. You gotta be vulnerable. You gotta take off your mask. You gotta be honest. You gotta be real. You gotta meet. Right? You're tired. You come home from church come home from work and I come home from church. Okay? And then there's another meeting. There's another meeting, the small group, and it takes work to develop a loving community. Right? And we need God to rescue me from selfishness. Say that to your neighbor. We need God to rescue me from selfishness. And that's what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5. Okay, Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 to 15 says this. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, okay, in Christ. We're free. Hallelujah. Huh? In Christ, we are free. But you do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Huh? You do not Use that freedom that we have in Christ to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. And verse 16 says this. So, okay, how are we going to be free from selfishness? The Bible says, so I say, walk by the Spirit. Okay? Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desire of your flesh. For the flesh desire what is contrary to the Spirit, and Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Okay, so a lot of us, we try to not be selfish by our own power, our self-effort, by all these rules of, you know, how many, if you have a lot of rules, is it such a burden not to be selfish? You know, it's so much, it's so hard, so difficult. But the Bible says if you walk by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Okay? You're not under the law. So what the Bible is saying, you see your selfishness, you see your flesh, okay? God will rescue you from your flesh. God will rescue you from your selfishness. Okay? If you try to do it yourself, you can't be rescued. Your selflessness is really not selflessness on your own power. Your selflessness is self-righteousness. It's self-righteousness. You're doing things so that to show other people that you're holy. It's not in front of God. It's not what God is doing in you. So what the Bible is saying to God needs to rescue us from our selfishness, meaning we need God's presence, we need God's truth, we need the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay? See, I want to convince you, selfishness makes you lose spiritual battle. Okay? You know, you're under spiritual battle. You're going through spiritual battle, and you're renouncing, and you're proclaiming, and you're reciting Bible verses. But what happens is, if you're selfish, it doesn't matter. Okay, it's very difficult. You're not going to win the spiritual battle when there's selfishness. Why? God doesn't move in selfishness. See, when I live for myself, the devil moves. If selfish, you might be able to make a lot of money. And if you're selfish, you can. Right? Greed, because of greed, you can make a lot of money. You could succeed in terms of the world, worldly philosophy. Right? But you will not win the spiritual battle. Okay. You will not win the spiritual battle with selfishness. You know, I have ministered to... Is you guys okay? Yeah? It looks so sad. I'm saying this because I love you. Okay? I love you. Yeah. Ministered to many people. You know, people from different background, different personality, you know. Minister to people we're all broken, you know, with brokenness, with abuse, abandonment, neglect, trauma, rejection, shame, condemnation. And, you know, I've seen people under tremendous spiritual attack, okay, spiritual attack. And I've seen God heal them. I seen God redeem them. I seen God restore them. I seen God set them free. I've seen God transform their life, restoring their life. Huh? But I'm being honest. But there's some people that never changes. Those who can't overcome. Those who don't move forward spiritually, they don't become more spiritually mature. They're either stuck or they get worse. And you teach them the truth, doesn't work. You counsel them, it doesn't work. You pray for them, it doesn't work. Why? They're too selfish. They're very selfish. Right? So, what should we do? There's something that God is asking us to do to create this room for God to rescue us, to move in our heart and in our life. Solution to selfishness is humility. Okay? And so I'm going to have to teach you about biblical humility. See, we win the battle with selfishness with humility. Okay? Selfishness gives the devil victory, okay? But what humility does, okay, humility opens the door to the Spirit of God. Okay? Humility opens the door for God to rescue you from selfishness. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 to 4 says this. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, what? In humility, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of other. Now, I gotta teach you about biblical humility. Biblical humility is not thinking less of yourself. Okay? It isn't thinking, again, I'm a mistake, I can't do anything right, I'm worthless. Humility is not saying I am no good. Okay? Humility does though, humility takes your eyes. This is we need to do this. Takes your eyes away from yourself, from the flesh. Okay? A lot of, you know what we do? We focus so much on our flesh. Okay? It takes your eye away from your flesh, from your selfishness. When there's humility, you're not the center of the universe. Right? You're not the center of the universe. Humility allows God to take the center of your life. That's what humility does. It allows God to take the center of your life. See, selfishness gives no room for God to work. Humility gives God room to move in your life. Right? Because what is selfishness? Your heart is filled with me. There's no room for God. It's just me. Right? Selfishness makes everything about you. Humility turns your eyes to the Lord. Your spiritual ear, you know, is all that junk is kind of, when there's humility, what happens is kind of unplugged and, oh, that's what God is saying. It's ridiculous sometimes, you know, when I look at some of the cults and some churches, like Westboro Church, what's that? Really bad church. Right? They read the Bible too. But they read the Bible, not with room where God is the center. They are the center. They believe they are the judge of the whole world. They're the executioner of the whole world. They have the right to judge everybody else. And they say they're God-centered. No, they're self-centered. They're self-centered. And so when you read the Bible self-centered, it does not make sense to you. You misinterpret it. You make it about you. Huh? You make it about you. Selfishness makes you a victim. Huh? Humility makes you more than a conqueror. Say to your neighbor, you are more than a conqueror. You know why you become a victim? Selfishness makes you, you know, again, selfishness makes you never see your blind spot. Okay? What am I talking about? I'm sharing this because this is what God is doing in this church and doing in my life. There is a blind spot in your heart. Okay? And God's touching it. Why? So that he could heal. He needs to forgive. He needs to heal. He needs to show grace and love. And so that you will be set free, so that there will be transformation, so that you can walk in the destiny that God has for you, right? But if you're selfish, right, you don't see it. You don't see the blind spot. Humility exposes your blind spot to the truth so that you will be set free. Selfishness fills your heart with pride. Selfishness fills your heart with insecurity. The similar things about pride and insecurity is this. It's all about you. When you're very insecure, you're not thinking about anybody else but you. Oh, I'm not tall enough. I don't have that shoes. I'm not making enough money. It's all about you. Or pride. I have more than you. I look better than you. I'm more athletic than you. Insecurity. I'm not as athletic than you. I don't have as much money than you. It's all about you. It will make you, if it's all about you, you become proud or very insecure. Huh? If there's selfishness, you blame. It's never your fault. It's always somebody else's fault. You become very judgmental and critical of others. That's terrible, right? But we all have that tendency. We have the flesh. Huh? We all have that tendency. Huh? You know, but thanks be to God. Huh? Thanks be to God. Okay? When we are humble, okay, God will move in our life. Okay? God will move in our life. Some of you are going, if I read this chapter, you know, you have this checklist. I got to read one chapter, you know. I got to go to the prayer meeting, you know. I got to fast 2 days a week, you know, and check, 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 and God will move. Maybe. Okay. Yeah, he will move. I can't say he's not going to move. But maybe the barriers not work. More meetings. Huh? There's a flesh issue. There's a flesh issue. Huh? Humility allows Holy Spirit to empower you. Empower you. And this is what I want to see God do in my life. But some people, this is how they see God leading you. Okay, and you see the Holy Spirit like Indianapolis 500. You know that race? You know? When the race starts, there's this pace car that all the car or the race car follow, right? This pace car. And we see the Holy Spirit like that. That's the wrong picture. Right? The way you should picture the Holy Spirit is not a pace car in a race, but a locomotive engine to a long train. Hello? Huh? A locomotive engine to this long train. We do not follow in our strength, but we are empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Say to your neighbor, you are empowered. Right? So how can we let Holy Spirit empower us. How many of you want to be empowered by the Holy Spirit? Amen, right? Me here. I want to be empowered. Huh? The Bible says, for that to start, humble yourself. Yeah? Humble yourself. What does it mean to humble yourself? I thought about it. If there's an area in your life, right? You want it a certain way. This is the only way. This has happened. And saying this is in love, stop wanting your own way. Stop wanting your own way. You're humbling yourself. You want things of the world. Okay? More selfish you are, more things of the world you want. Okay? Stop wanting the things of this world. You are humbling yourself. Stop living for the temporal. Okay? And Holy Spirit, I ask that you will just search our heart. There's an area that you're fighting with God. You're fighting with Him. Okay? When you humble yourself, you stop fighting with God, even though you don't understand it. You stop fighting with God. Instead, you humble yourself, meaning you submit yourself to God. Huh? There are areas in your life, okay, when you're selfish, you know. You know, it's kind of, I don't want to bring this. I had this illustration, but the Holy Spirit said, don't do it. You're going to hurt your kids. I just came up. It was out. You know, the area in your life, I don't think you realize it, but you keep saying no to Him. You're saying no. No. You know, with your kids, you know. Here's dinner. No. Right? Let's go shopping for your clothes. No. You're saying no to Him. You're saying no to God. You know, stop playing with that knife. You know, you're going to hurt yourself. No. Huh? God is asking you to give it up, to turn away from it. Selfishness says, I'm not going to listen to you. That's what selfishness says. Humility says, yes, Lord. Okay, yes, Lord. Selfishness separates you from God. Selfishness connects you, because it's the flesh. Selfishness is flesh. It connects you to material things, to money, to worldly philosophy, to lies, to drugs. You become addicted. That will be one of the points. Okay? Next week, God rescues you from bitterness. Right? You're trying to. The theme is God's saving you from yourself. And then after that will be God rescues you from addictions and bondage. Right? But humility connects you to God. Okay? The Bible says God is the vine and you are the branch and you're connected to Him. And when you're connected to Him, you rely on His strength, His power, and you will bear fruit. Okay? But selfishness, it separates you from God. Humility connects you to God. And the fruits, if you look, you know, the fruit is something that God does. God rescues you from selfishness. Over time, guess what? You don't know how it happened. I don't know how the fruit is formed. You know, do you know how the process, how the fruit is formed? Yeah. And the beauty is, I don't have to know. I don't have to know how this light turned on when I do a switch, how everything's connected and how it's connected to the power station over there and how the power station makes that. I don't have to know. Huh? So how do you get love? How do you get peace? How do you get joy? How do you Get kindness and gentleness and goodness. How do you get the fruit of the Holy Spirit? You need to connect with God. God rescues you from selfishness. But there's something that we need to do. We've got to make room for God. And we make room for God when we humble ourselves. Amen? Okay, let's pray. Again, humility is not beating yourself up, saying that you're no good. That's not how God sees you. God sees, He created you, and He says, you are beautiful in my eyes. You are created in my image and my likeness. You're not worthless. You're not a junk. Doesn't matter, you know, how dysfunctional your family was growing up. Doesn't matter how much you were rejected. Jesus was rejected. And God used him to save the whole world. Humility is not a bad thing. The Bible says Jesus is humble. And because he is humble, he was able to love you. Not just love you, just, you know, he could have went around the world just proclaiming, I love you, because he was humble and he loves you. He gave his life for you. Can you think about it? God is humble, all-knowing, all-powerful. Is humble. As we worship, if you could just humble yourself before the Lord, as we worship the Lord.